Hi, I'm Riley, and today my podcast is going to be on dissociative amnesia. Dissociative amnesia is a retrograde memory loss that happens when there is structural brain damage due to dissociation. It is defined by Monica Bisdan of University College London as one or more episodes of inability to recall important personal information, usually of a traumatic or stressful nature, that is too extensive to be explained by ordinary forgetfulness. Dissociative amnesia, or DA, as I'll be referring to it in this podcast, is typically a result of psychological trauma and is the most common dissociative disorder. In general, people with DA regain memories, but in the range in which the amnesia lasts can highly vary. It can last from minutes to a lifetime. People with DA often have higher risks of self-harm and suicide in the future. The way that DA develops is most commonly when a person dissociates when a traumatic event is occurring. The range of severity of this can also differ. It can be forgetfulness of just the traumatic event or actual personal autobiographical information, such as your own name. As for the neuroscience of dissociative amnesia, there are kind of three main parts of our brain that play into this: the prefrontal cortex, hippocampus, and amygdala. This is because these parts experience excessive arousal and cause DA. The prefrontal cortex integrates internal and external experiences. When there is excessive arousal of this, the functions of the prefrontal cortex become too dysregulated. This causes an inability to process and integrate memories. Excessive arousal also affects the hippocampus due to too many and too frequent stress hormones being released. The amygdala regulates the intensity of the reaction to this arousal. The prefrontal cortex is connected with neural paths that lead to the hippocampus and amygdala. All forms of cerebral action, both emotional and cognitive, are registered in the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex has the ability to so-called enhance the important information that the brain receives and do the opposite for non-important. This is done by accessing one's emotional reaction to an event. Weakened cognitive inventory causes some information we process beyond conscious control. The information can cause independent streams and can lead us to not be able to reach those memories within our conscious state. Memory disorders caused by emotional distress worsen the metabolic activity of the prefrontal lobes. The hippocampus has the main goal of storing and retrieving information. This means it plays a large role in the brain's response to traumatic events. The structure is also very flexible and sensitive to harmful factors. Excessively high stress hormones can damage the hippocampus structure. The actual size of the hippocampus can decrease after experiencing a traumatic event. DA causes dysregulation of the metabolic activity in the hippocampus. As for the amygdala, it's in charge of accessing the emotional context of a stimulus. The amygdala can assign a stimulus as neutral, important, or unimportant. This gives meaning to a stimulus. This is the first step when something happens to us, and only later does the prefrontal cortex actually memorize this information. For those in high emotional distress, there is increased cerebral blood flow in the amygdala. When there is excessive activity in the amygdala, the hippocampus is unable to be functioning properly, and sometimes not even at all. The hippocampus volume may also decrease, and this typically happens when a traumatic event was extremely intense and or long-lasting. Psychology Today states that people with DA often do not know they have it, and this is due to the fact that people may not even know that they've gone through something traumatic that could lead them to qualify for this disorder if they forget it. The DSM-5 criteria for DA is the inability to remember important autobiographical information that one would typically be able to recall, a sense of detachment from self, including identity and emotions, the forgetting causing distress in daily life, including work, school, and with family and friends, and the disturbance is not due to substance use, a different mental health disorder, or another mental condition, such as a seizure or brain injury. I researched a case study done by two students at the University of Bielefeld, Germany, and University of Budapest. They studied a woman in her mid-30s who underwent years of surgery, both throughout her childhood and her adulthood. And she had also had a very traumatic childhood, and this study did not go into what that was, but they did state that. So she had two children, two daughters, and she was married. And then in her mid-30s, while she was hospitalized, she forgot who her husband and her children were. She had vague feelings of remembrance towards one of her daughters, but not the other, and her husband, but she did not have any memories attached to them. This just shows how severe it can be, and she went through so much medical trauma, not necessarily physically, but mentally, that all damaged her, that she was led to this amnesic state. Dissociative fugue states are a subtype of DA. Fugue states are typically more severe and shorter lasting, and they cause one to lose all sense of personal identity and facts. An example of this kind of portrayed in the media is if you've ever watched Breaking Bad, Walter White claims he went through a fugue state. And obviously he did not, if you've watched the plot of the show, but that's kind of what they're referring to when they're talking about a fugue state. Times for those with DA, the memories can come back, but in really severe cases, they may not. This condition in ways is opposite to dementia, as dementia patients can often recall more personal information and not general world information, while DA is the other way around. This kind of means that dementia patients, for example, may have certain memories from their childhood that are really clear to them, but they might not know, say, the President of the United States, while people who have DA can be cognitively functioning perfectly normal in school. They can know everything that's happening to their friends, their family, everything that's happened in the world, just they might forget things that have happened to them, which is kind of why you can think of them as opposites. Something I found super interesting in my research was that people who have anxiety or higher egos tend to suffer from DA more, and this is due to the fact that whatever traumatic event they went through, this is particularly for cases of abuse, is not in line of that sense of control that they want to have in their life. Because people with high egos, obviously that kind of entails that they always want to have power and that they don't want to be seen as weak. And for people with anxiety, they always want to have control, because not being in control will obviously be a source of anxiety. So for those two groups of people, DA is really common because the abuse that they're facing may not be in line with that sense of control that they have elsewhere in their life or that they want to have. Memory repression and DA can often be used interchangeably, because memory repression is kind of the action of what's happening and DA is more the actual diagnosis when someone is diagnosed with the condition of memory repression. The National Library of Medicine examined the personality types most commonly associated with DA. People usually think that it's associated with Cluster B personality disorders, but it's been seen to possibly have a higher link to Cluster C, specifically avoidant and dependent personality disorders. While there is no medication or standard way of care for DA, the main way and try to assist those with it is to retrieve those lost memories. This can be done through hypnosis and drug-assisted therapy or cognitive therapy in general. To be able to heal, it is necessary to try and gain an understanding of the trauma. I believe that it's really important for the field of neuroscience and psychology to gain an understanding of DA, because without this understanding, trauma patients or people with trauma will never be able to understand and combat what happened to them. To be able to heal from trauma, you need to know what happened to you and need to be able to target that specific thing. Therapy, when you're combating the wrong thing, that may just seem like anxiety and depression, because you don't know that something traumatic happened to you, will not be helpful. If you have experienced something traumatic, you need to target that in your therapy. While this condition is really tricky to go about because anyone could qualify for it and they may just not know, it's really important and would be super beneficial if mental health care providers and healthcare providers always kept it in the back of their minds when they see patients who may have these kind of symptoms of trauma but don't know that anything happened to them. It can be really helpful to go to therapy and try to unpack what has happened to you, because with therapy, it is very possible that those memories will come back for you and you'll be able to actually heal from what hurt you. While it may be very difficult to treat or even diagnose, everybody deserves a fair chance of learning what is happening to them and what is happening inside their brain, and healthcare providers and mental health care providers should be able to give that to everybody. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for my next episode, which is an interview with my mom, where we'll dive deeper into people who have gotten psychological trauma from medical trauma and what she has seen in her profession.